Welcome. Thank you for coming. We weren't sure on this Holy Week, with so many other things going on, if we would have much attendance here tonight, but I'm particularly grateful that you're here. As Jamie mentioned, we are, this is the last of our six messages on leaning into Lent. And the whole purpose of this time, someone we were just talking a moment ago, was to give us an extra opportunity during the season of Lent to lean into a more, to walk more closely with Jesus. That really is the goal of our instruction. Paul wrote to Timothy, the goal of our instruction, the command, the goal of this command is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And so when we leave time together like this, my hope is that we aren't just batting at the wind, but that the Holy Spirit's at work, and we get a glimpse of who Jesus is and his love for us, and we are actually growing in our love for him and each other. And so I'd like to string together our five previous ones. We started with knowing God. That's the right place to start. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And growing. And for that one, I mentioned that God is committed to our growth. He began a good work in you and me, and he will see that to completion. Next, we heard from Bishop Chris about praying. And praying is turning our heart toward God to listen to him and speak to him. And then reading being essential to grow in our maturity and fulfill our place in his story. And then last week, Jamie talked about worshiping, responding to God's love, mercy, and grace with a deep sense of reverence, adoration, and submission. If you missed that time, I encourage or commend his teaching to you on worship. I was just struck. I thought, this is so powerful to know and understand the truth about worship. And so finally, we're tying that in to abiding. The main idea is for us to walk more closely with Jesus. It simply means abiding in him. And so what is abiding? I'm sure many of you could answer that question. But just for the sake of brevity, the word abide can be translated to remain, or stay with, or dwell with, or make your home in. When John the Baptist's disciples followed Jesus, some of you remember this in the first chapter of John, Jesus turns to them and he asks, what can I do for you? And they say, where are you staying? And it says they followed him and they stayed with him the rest of the day. So abiding is staying with or in our relationship with Jesus. And so tonight I want to keep this sort of simple and just ask these questions. What is Jesus' instruction to abide? What is the role of God in abiding? What is our response to the Lord's invitation to abide? And what is the outcome? So we'll walk through all four of those, but start with Jesus' instruction. And I invite you to turn to John chapter 15. Many of you are familiar with this gospel from John, and certainly this passage. You'll remember as you turn there, Jesus, it's his last night with his disciples. They're in the upper room. They've gathered to celebrate the Passover. Jesus has shared his heart with them. He's taken off his outer garments, wrapped a towel around his waist, got on his hands and knees and washed their feet. He's celebrated the Passover, but instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, an outward sign of an inward reality of what he was going to accomplish for them and what he's accomplished for us. And while he's with them, he tells them this. So listen as I read, starting at verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We'll stop right there. I love this description Jesus explains of the vine. Many of you who've studied or heard teaching from John's book, you know, are you familiar with the I am statements? You heard where Jesus seven times in John's gospel uses the phrase I am. This is the last of those seven. And I would point that out. So you remember he said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And now on this last one, I believe he gives us a picture of a oneness with him unlike any of the other pictures, right? Because he's describing being in him. We are the branch grafted into the vine in the place that was cut so that we could be attached to him. And the life from him flows through the vine into the branch, and we bear good fruit. There's a unity and a connection that I believe is more intimate and close than any of the previous I am statements. I'm not sure we fully comprehend it. Notice he doesn't say, abide with me. And say, well, just stick with me. He says, abide in me and I in you. That's a profound mystery. And I suggest it's one that talks about a personal, intimate oneness with Jesus that is, I love Jamie's prayer from Ephesians, that we might actually be able to comprehend what is available to us in this picture. So that's the first thing. Jesus commands us to abide. The second thing is, what is the role of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in abiding? You know, I remember when I first heard this concept of abiding, I was a young man, I was in a Bible study, and the guy was teaching on it, and I kind of raised my hand, and I said, well, how do you do it? And, you know, I don't remember his answer, but one of my friends came up to me afterward, he goes, what do you mean, how do you do it? Are you being a smart aleck? And I was like, no, how do you do it? How do you actually abide? And I thought of it as this thing I had to figure out. How do I actually abide? And yet, what I've grown to understand is that the Lord, the God, our God, is actually the one initiating that. One of the things that I love about Jamie's preaching through John, he uses this phrase. Have you heard it? The initiating grace of Jesus. I see people nodding. The initiating grace of Jesus. I love the picture Jamie has shown us every week. I actually made a list in my notes, and I realize I don't have time for that list. But you see Jesus being proactive. He turns, he arranges, he approaches. He went up, he intercedes, he heals, he found the man. That is true of abiding. In this chapter of John 15, we actually see Jesus gives us a glimpse of the role of the Trinity in abiding. If you notice, let's go back to verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, that's one verse, and it's easy to skip over, but think about it. The Father is there. In one of my previous messages here in this series, I tried to open our imagination to what does it look like for the Father, the all-knowing Father, the loving Father, the caring Father, the benevolent Father, the joyful Father, tending his garden, looking over the vine and delighting in it, looking at the branches and inspecting each one. Look at the fruit on this branch. Looking at what the branch needs, supplying the nutrients in the soil and a gentle rain. I think it's so important for us to see this picture. And of course, you could spend the whole evening on this image of the garden and God being the gardener, the one tending. So that's the Father. The Son, of course, is the vine. I'm the true vine. Planted. Now imagine this. This isn't just a honeysuckle vine. This is a vine, sturdy, planted, established, firm, reliable, trustworthy. And what is his work? To hold fast the branches. Jesus drew you to himself, and it is Jesus, you and me, and it is Jesus who binds us to himself. Friends, for me, that was a paradigm shift. I thought, well, I've got to cling on to that vine, and if I let go, no, it's he's, what is the recent hymn from the Gettys? He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. In his book, Abide in Christ, I'm going to reference this about 100 times, Andrew Murray wrote this in the 19th century. It's a 31-day devotional, and Libby and I are probably on our third-ish reading through it. Listen to what he writes about abiding. It's Jesus who invited you when he said, come to me. And it is Jesus who keeps you when he says, abide in me. The grace to come and the grace to abide are alike from him alone. So it's helpful for us, I think, to see that abiding begins with the work of God, the Father, the work of God, the Son, and the work of God, the Holy Spirit. I imagine the Holy Spirit being the life flowing through the vine, up through the soil, through the vine, and into the branches. That life, that rich sap, that bears fruit. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The Holy Spirit is the one dwelling in you and me and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Why am I taking so much time to focus on this? It's because I don't want us to miss this phrase that Jesus uses, that by faith in him, you are born of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are in Christ. You are in Christ, and he is in you. Paul writes, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that God has given you in Christ Jesus. The reality is that right now you are in Christ. Now, whether or not you're aware of that, or I'm aware of that, when I wake up in the morning, when I'm driving to work, when I'm trying to do a comp, you know. But the truth is, that is what is the truest thing about you. Paul writes, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us the wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Again, Murray writes, the whole Christian life depends on the clear consciousness of our position in Christ. Most essential to abiding in Christ is the daily renewal of faith's assurance, I am in Christ Jesus. Jamie actually referred to this in his first message. We have to know and understand who we are, our identity, because of what Jesus has done, because of what he's already accomplished. You and I are in him, and he's in us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And when you know it, when you know it, And you are able to by his grace, acknowledge that that is true. It changes everything. You are actively and continually living in a way where you flourish. So my next question is, what is our response to the Lord's invitation to abide? So I've asked, what is abiding? What is God's role? What's our response? My question when I was in that Bible study, how do we do it? And our role is simply to cooperate with what he is already doing. Abiding in him is not a work we have to do or a condition for enjoying salvation. It's a consenting to let him do all for us and in us and through us. Our part is simply to yield, to trust, and to wait for what he has engaged to perform. I'll never forget, I was with a group of young men that I know, and we were at a men's retreat, and there was a gentleman speaking, one of the most unpretentious, plain-spoken, and yet saintly men I just remember us sitting there almost spellbound because God had worked through his life, through Mitch's life, this godliness about him. And so I remember one talk he gave, and he concluded the talk with this word, just let Jesus live his life through you. Oh, you could feel it in the room. And that's what our part is. How do we do it? I wrote these three things down. Turn to the Lord, stay connected throughout the day, and respond with humility to correction and discipline. So, you know, you are all mature followers of Jesus. You probably have many other things that you would suggest, but I just found these so simple. Turn to the Lord. Respond to his movement in you. You are grafted onto the vine, and he is holding you fast. What's your response? Well, I brought some show and tell. This plant is in my office. And when I put it on the coffee table next to the window, what happens? My gardeners in the crowd, Tom, it turns toward the light. Thank you, Tina. It turned toward the light so much that I had to move it and turn it around because all the leaves were facing this way. The plant didn't move. It didn't water itself. It just responded to what was coming through the window, and it turned. And I think for us, that is an illustration of you and I turning toward the Lord and just making ourselves available. And how do we do that? I think one of the things I find so encouraging is that three of our six presentations are simple ways to avail ourselves of the Lord. One is reading, the second praying, the third worshiping. Think about this for a moment. Reading. The spirit within you, right, leaps when it hears the spirit revealed through the word of God. In other words, the deepest longing of that new regenerate heart with you, in you, Ezekiel writes, I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and obey my rules, wants to read the word of God. Wants to, because it is the bread of life, because it's like honey, because it sustains you. Praying, the new heart within you, the spirit within you longs for intimacy with God, and so that you, like the disciples, ask, Lord, teach me to pray. And the Lord says, great, okay, when you pray, pray like this. I used to run a lot, and sometimes on my run, not all the time, but sometimes, I would just say to myself the Lord's Prayer, but just one phrase at a time. Our Father. Well, what does that mean? Why did he start with our Father? Why not just Father? Does it mean something communal? Our Father, not just Jim's, not just yours. who art in heaven, he's in heaven, where everything is as it should, just meditating on the prayer. Worshiping, the new heart, and by the way, prayer, abiding is cultivating a posture of prayer. How in the world do we pray without ceasing? We simply put ourselves in a posture that throughout the day, we're simply abiding, praying. I hear all kinds of things about different descriptions of prayer. All I know is it's the cry of my heart. Jesus, help me. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, I love you. It's part of us just being in relationship with him. And if you've already built reading, praying, and worshiping, you could add to that by the grace of God, giving, serving, observing the Sabbath. These are just the things that make us open to, like these leaves, turning to the work of God, responding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. They may sound like I need to or I should. And I don't want that to be true. We don't need to figure that, well, I've got to, you know, got to have my. What we need to do is simply respond to the Holy Spirit already moving toward us, to the life of Christ in us. So number one, we turn to the Lord. Number two, we stay connected through the day. I may have shared this before, but one of my friends, one of the men who discipled me, and by disciple, I mean just taught me to follow Jesus. He would say, Steve, in all the natural things, be spiritual. And in all the spiritual things, be natural. In all the natural things, just be spiritual. And in all the spiritual things, be natural. In other words, for him, you are in the kingdom. There is no secular and sacred. There's no bifurcation. It's all sacred. You're abiding in Christ. Right now, you are in, we are in. Jesus said, what is eternal life? That they know the one whom you sent. So we get to, I met with these young men in a Bible study, and I said, look, we are living in this realm, the heavenly realm. It just gets played out here. So when you go to your occupation or you're doing your daily task, do it as unto the Lord. That's abiding. Stay connected through the day. Today, many people are recognizing a brief time of reading or study or reflection is not enough to form and shape and train us. This is especially true when the pace of life is accelerating. We're all dialed in, but increasingly isolated. We feel loneliness is a pandemic. We feel unmoored, untethered. Do you sense that? You sense that? Here's what's fascinating to me. In the 6th century, Benedict came up with the rule of life. In the 16th century, Cranmer decided, well, how do we form a people who don't even have access to the Bible, who don't really know the gospel? How do we form them? And so he writes the Book of Common Prayer that creates a rhythm to life. Morning prayer, evening prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer. He just decides, is there a rhythm that will help form these people to be the people of God? Brother Lawrence, many of you have read Practicing the Presence of God, 16th or 17th century. He was a monk that worked in the kitchen, but got to know abiding in a way that he felt like cleaning dishes in the kitchen was as holy and worshipful to him as being in morning prayer with his brothers. And so what I find equally fascinating is now more than ever, I'm seeing books come out that are going back to this idea. Ruth Haley Barton wrote a book, and I listed these on the back of your handout, Sacred Rhythms, Arranging Our Lives for Spiritual Transformation. This is the quote, I cannot transform myself, or anyone else for that matter. What I can do is create the conditions in which spiritual transformation can take place by developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practice that keep me open and available to God. Isn't that what's most helpful? To knowing and abiding. Justin Rurley writes this book, The Common Rule. Sounds sort of formal, but I thought this almost funny, that here's the table of contents. Daily habit one, kneeling prayer at morning. Daily habit two, one meal with others. Daily habit three, 1 hour with the phone off. Daily habit four, scripture before the phone. Weekly habit one, 1 hour of conversation with a friend. Weekly habit two, curate media for 4 to 4 hours. This is so contemporary that it's almost like, who couldn't do to put down your phone for an hour? Or limit your news feed? Or realize, I'm actually going to just make sure once a week I have dinner with a friend who knows me and loves me. Practicing the way is another one, John Mark Comer. Just basic, but so profound. If you hear a similar theme, it's simply that in order for us to abide in Jesus, we just want to make that a daily practice of abiding in and with him. And whether it's going through the daily office in the prayer book or an app like Lectio 365, it has morning, midday, and evening prayer. Beautiful prayers and worship scripture. But build it into. And then finally, number three, respond with humility to correction and discipline. Imagine the Father spotting in the vineyard a blight or a pestilence or dead leaves and coming back and removing what is dead or treating it, caring for it, making sure that it is healthy. I remember at a time memorizing this verse from Hebrews. I was going through a season and I thought, well, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. And then I love the second half of this. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Friends, don't despise the discipline of the Lord. Don't despise when someone comes to you and just gently mirrors back to you what it's like to be in a relationship with you. Even if the message is hard to hear at the time, ask Jesus, what do you have for me? How do I keep turning toward the work of the Spirit? There's so much more we could say on this, but I just think we want to turn toward the Lord. We want to abide in and with the Lord throughout the day. And then finally, what's the outcome of abiding? What fruit do you bear? Well, we all know the fruit of the vine, of course, is these delicious grapes, but the fruit of the Spirit are these things. Let's say them together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Does even hearing that awaken in you a thirst for that fruit, a hunger for it in your life? And then finally, what is that for whom, what or whom, for whom or what is that fruit for? Listen to it again, Murray. I love this. A fruit-bearing tree lives not for itself, but wholly for those to whom its fruit brings refreshment and life. That fruit we just read, it's really for others to enjoy it from you, to give it away, for them to taste of it, to have or see a glimpse of Jesus. And so the branch exists and only and entirely for the sake of the fruit. To make glad the heart of the husbandman is its object, its safety, and its glory. When we talk about abiding, it's so that we get the pleasure of bearing fruit to the glory of God, which satisfies the thing for which we were made. That's why you and I were created, for a oneness with Him that we taste now, but we will know forever. Abiding to me, you can get countless, go up to my office, there's shelves on spiritual disciplines and practices. All of them are important. But let's not miss that they are a response to Jesus' invitation for us to abide with Him, in Him, in a way that enables us to know the abundant and eternal life He's offered us, that He's paid for, that exists, not because you and I earned it or figured it out, but because Jesus accomplished it on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sent the Spirit so this might be true of us in our experience. That's my prayer for us individually. It's also my prayer for us corporately. When someone comes to be in our midst, will they experience something of the beauty and the intimacy and the love of God? Let me close this. Lord God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's only by You, by Your grace, that we were called by You, that we were redeemed, that You put Your life within us. Our deepest longing is for this intimacy and oneness with You, apart from what we might feel or think. The life within us responds to the life that is You. And so by Your grace, enable us to do the things that just avail us of Your work, the beautiful redemptive work of and sanctifying work of Your Holy Spirit, that by Your grace we might bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, individually and corporately, so that You receive the glory. We ask this, God, through Your holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank You for coming. I hope you've enjoyed our time together.